1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian On Demand is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Select locations are now open. Come experience the big screen again in a safe and comfortable environment. Purchase tickets and order food in advance at MarcusTheaters.com or on the Marcus Theaters mobile app. Your seat is waiting.
Isn't it?
Has been so far, I think. Stories have not disappointed. Thanks to all of you who have sent in your letters at 1029thehog.com. This unfortunately will mark the last installment of the 2020 Holiday Horror Stories.
It's a drag.
Yeah. And like I said, they
good things come to an end.
That makes it so great. You got to wait till next year.
Or the recounting of horrible things comes to an end.
But by all means.
Like votes?
All right. Got a lot. A big slice today. Here's from a soldier. A soldier. It was Christmas 2010, and I was deployed to Afghanistan on my first deployment. We wanted to get into the festive spirit, so we scoured the desert for the perfect tree for us to decorate with handmade ornaments and glow sticks. Seems like a dangerous thing to do.
They know what they're doing.
Being short on Christmas ham or turkey, we decided to indulge in some of the local cuisine for our holiday dinner. After having our full, all but three of us came down with a wicked case of food poisoning. Put us out of commission for a week. Guess my years of growing up eating dirt and drinking from the garden hose paid off. But that still landed me up in the guard towers for 16 hours a day for that week. It was definitely a Christmas I'll never forget.
Wowzy.
Guys, those soldiers. I wonder what the Christmas cuisine was, the local stuff.
Goat.
Okay. Kind of a different one. I drove for a rideshare company 2018 as a part-time job on the weekends. Last year, Christmas Eve, I got up early to drive for a few hours, and I was hit by a hit-and-run driver. Luckily, someone pulled over, saw the accident, and gave me her contact info as a witness. After reporting the accident, I found out later I was not covered for using my car as a business, even though I was not at fault. Rideshare company also said I was not covered. There were three stages when you drive for them, and I was in stage one, which was waiting to accept a ride, because I was in stage one, I was not covered.
Oh, just, you know, layers.
My car is now not safe to drive. Airbags on the passenger side of the car went off and doors won't open. In the end, I did lawyer up and they went after the rideshare company. I had to pay my doctor bills and a small settlement for myself, but the lawyers got the rideshare company to pay. The settlement was not enough to pay to fix my car, so I had to surrender it only to be auctioned off. I ended up having to file Chapter 7 due to this. To the person who hit me, if you're listening, may you rot in hell.
Oh!
A week to go.
What? Can understand why they'd be
agreed.
A little upset. Yeah.
Agreed.
Every year for Christmas Eve, my family would go to my aunt and uncle's house. It was always an exciting time for us kids because we got to see Santa Claus. My siblings and myself and all our cousins would get sent to their bedroom where my aunt would make us sing Christmas carols until we were told Santa was arriving.
Is he ready? Is he?
The reason for this, you can imagine. Once my aunt got the signal, the bedroom door would swing open. All his kids would run down the hallway and see Santa coming with a sack full of presents. On this particular Christmas Eve, as us kids were coming around the bend all excited, we were greeted in shock to see Santa outside running down a man from next door and slamming him to the ground.
In the outfit.
All the adult males went running out of the house to find out what happened. I remember freaking out and thinking, is this what Santa does to someone if they are naughty?
Boy, that's a good one.
After all the chaos, we came to find out my uncle saw the neighbor's house being burglarized, so he flew into action.
Nice.
Santa action.
All right.
So I'm robbing this house. Santa Claus.
Would you believe it? Can you believe that?
French Connection.
Yeah, right. Right. Right up there. Gene Hackman.
My mother's favorite two things were Christmas and beer.
Mm.
she wasn't the best cook. She didn't keep the cleanest house, and she slept most of her days half in the bag, but she was absolutely meticulous when it came to Christmas and decorating the house.
Okay. So just the once a year you pull it together?
This is.
Huh.
In the 70s, I grew up in a split-level house with, and when the holidays rolled around, we both both levels were decorated to the nth degree. My mother's anal attitude with the decorating hit its nadir when it came to the tree. It took her days to decorate it after my dad and I set it up. We had to have an artificial tree so it would be the perfect shape every year, but she had to have the lights just so, and she knew exactly where each bauble and ball went. The worst was the tinsel. She loved it and covered the tree with it. She drove us nuts by putting it on one strand at a time, taking forever.
Now I'll back up and look.
Oh, my God.
Here's a bald spot.
One year, her best friend Candy came over to help decorate. Candy was also a big drinker, and the two of them,
What's Candy's drug of choice?
Polished off the better part of a case of Genesee beer. When the tinsel came out, my mother started her one strand at a time routine. Candy had a different style. Her method was to throw a strand in the air and blow it on the tree. When my mother saw her do that, she freaked out and pushed Candy into the tree, knocking it over and calling her names.
Into her beloved tree?
Right.
Went over the railing and down the steps into the basement. Candy grabbed her coat and stumbled out the door. My mother stayed up all night redoing the whole tree from scratch. Sure. Terrified, my dad and I hid in fear until morning.
Wow.
Attacked her friend.
Didn't like the way she hung tinsel.
There are
Candy
other...
was also a big drinker.
That's one for the wall.
Yeah.
Haven't had one like this yet. Our Christmas family gathering of my in-laws was going as per usual. Food conversation and gift opening. I was sitting on the couch with my wife by the picture window with it behind us. Suddenly, I heard a loud crash with the sound of breaking glass and immediately intense pain from a blunt object hitting the back of my head, as well as the sting of glass cutting my neck and ears. Dazed and in severe pain, I saw numerous family members running toward me and the front door. I recognized the sound of my father-in-law's voice yelling at someone outside. I also heard him say, "Get my gun. I am tired of this crazy bitch."
Oh, what?
My dizziness got so bad I passed out. Later in the hospital, it was explained to me that my nephew's ex-girlfriend threw a brick through the window because she was upset my nephew brought her sister to Christmas and not her.
This guy can't date in a... Okay.
Well, he's just in the middle of a situation.
He's just sitting on the couch.
I suffered a concussion, a few stitches, and over 20 cuts on my neck, head, and ears. She is now in jail serving a 6-year sentence for what she did to me, other charges, and outstanding warrants.
Whoa.
I have no scars, but now I get headaches when weather is coming. Merry Christmas.
Just taken one to the head.
That may trump the uncle beating the other one with a fire.
I think a brick through the window.
With a log.
There's more.
Okay.
Oh.
My immediate and extended family are a wrestling family, and we are pretty into it and would wrestle every Christmas.
Can you imagine being the girlfriend or boyfriend coming to that house?
No.
You what?
No. I'm not wrestling.
Do you have to do it?
They asked me to, but I don't.
The straws were drawn, rigged, and I, at 16, was matched against my cousin of 19 because we were close in age. As the rest of the family was sitting down to eat, we were slamming one another into walls and the floor and being yelled at to come sit down.
Oh, do it later now. Come sit down. Get him out of that hole.
Is there a ring?
I see him tapping.
Or do they do it in the living room?
I don't know where?
Unlike the previous years, however, I was getting the better of my cousin to the point of exposing his back to the floor. My brother, being the referee, called a pin, and we sprinted off to the dinner table mocking our older cousin.
This is not going to, okay.
As we came running in, we grabbed our seats, and my cousin was hot on our tails. I sat down. My cousin placed the sleeper hold on me from behind the chair. He puts in parentheses, illegal, arm around the neck, blocking off blood flow.
That was Vern Gagne's signature move, the sleeper.
Now the entire family joined in on the mocking of my cousin for being, for losing to a younger family member, while the insults came pouring down on my already flustered cousin. No one noticed my hand tapping on the table. So he's tapping out.
Right.
Then he writes, the next part of the story is from other family members' perspective. And so it continues. My tapping, I don't understand, turned into fist slams, and one uncle screamed at me to knock it off. Another uncle realized what was going on and jumped over the table. And my cousin slapped me, thinking I was faking. This sent me into spasms of arm winging and legs kicking around and knocking everything close to me onto the floor. I came to on the floor and ended up being perfectly fine, but we realized certain moves we should not use. Not, you know, you shouldn't be wrestling like a bunch of dumbasses. But.
At the table, though. Like, at the table. If it was the living room, it'd be crazy enough.
Hey, you shouldn't put that move on.
What?
Illegal.
Well, it's an illegal move. The match was over. It's like just taking, it's like ambushing somebody.
Still a lot to go here.
Wow.
It was Christmas 2016. I was visiting my brother and his new wife in their new Chicago condo. They were having friends who I have never met over to eat and drink and be merry. Then the sudden urge for me to use the facilities hit me. Knowing that I would need a little extra privacy, I opted for the bathroom in the master bedroom and not the one for the general public.
Okay.
Afterwards, I flushed and, well, you know,
oh, no.
It didn't go. As I searched the bathroom looking for the plunger and not found, that's when I sent a text out to my brother.
Oh.
Hey, where's your plunger? After no response, I thought I would just slip out and approach my brother or sister-in-law for it.
Oh, God. Worst nightmare. One of them. Avalanche. This.
Then the chain of disaster happened in a side conversation waiting to talk to my sister-in-law. I hear the phrase, yeah, let me show you what we did with the master bathroom.
Oh,
while simultaneously, I heard a text message notification come through the Bluetooth speaker my brother was using to play messages, and he promptly said, hey, Siri, read me my notification, to which my notification was read to the entire party.
Oh, my God.
I stood there with a look of embarrassment and did the only thing I could do.
Leave.
And I thought I would introduce myself with a, hello, I'm Mike's brother, and I need a plunger.
Oh. Oh, God. Hey, Siri.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, the toilet didn't run over. There's that one. Oh, God. It's running over.
Yeah.
Now you're having bath towels.
It was 1980, and I was 5, almost 6, and came home from school to see my mom on the floor with our box of Christmas decorations. I was so excited, thinking we were getting ready for Christmas and would be going out to buy our tree and decorate that night. To my horror, my mom started to smash each ornament with a hammer, explaining to me that she had joined a religious group that forbids Christmas, so we needed to rid our house of all things related to this holiday.
Do you want her or the drunk?
I started to cry.
I'm taking the drunk.
As I watched her smash each memory one by one until they were gone.
Oh.
That night, my dad came home, and she told him of her decision. He never spoke much and just shrugged and said, well, things will be less expensive this time of year from now on. Merry Christmas.
So Dad just rolled with it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Ma.
For crushing my childhood.
Yeah. One ornament at a time.
Oh.
Two more. It was Christmas Eve in the 80s, and my mom's side of the family for our annual party met at the now demolished Best Western Hotel on Highway 100 and Blue Mound Road.
I believe it had a big pool indoor.
Yeah. In the story here, my great uncle would rent a couple of rooms and family would arrive and partake in swimming pool, ping pong, and relaxing in the large atrium area.
Exactly.
My brother and two cousins would run all over the place as very few people other than our family would be there.
Oh, yeah. Hotel tag, the whole nine.
I remember saving quarters all year just to dump them into the video game machines of the day. Part of the fun involved my aunt's boyfriend, who we kids nicknamed Zombie. Zombie was a leather jacket, chain wallet wearing dude that never worked and looked like a crazed lunatic high on something, hence the name. He would chase us around the hotel. This year, however, would be Zombie's last. It appears someone had complained about a man chasing kids around the hotel and called the cops. This was not good for Zombie because he had a warrant for felony assault in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Of course, in Florida.
He was also carrying concealed weapons, a switchblade in his boot. Zombie was convinced a family member was responsible, and he threatened everyone before being hauled away. His assumption actually was correct. We never saw a Zombie again, and he has since passed away from a violent jail attack in Florida.
Oh, jeez. Remember when that guy used to chase us around?
Yeah, he had assault charges and was killed by a fellow inmate.
Whatever
yeah.
happened to Zombie? Murdered in prison.
He was fun to play with.
Yeah, violent jail attack.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And this one.
Uncle Zombie.
Oh.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Murdered.
We don't talk about
prison.
Him.
It was Christmas Eve, 1973. My high school sweetheart had recently moved in with me in a huge flat that I shared with a few friends. That sounds terrible.
It does, but you know, love is love.
It's 73.
They couldn't wait.
I was all excited for our first Christmas together. I had a good job as an auto worker working overtime and making a lot of money. I was only 19 years old at the time. Her parents weren't excited about this at all.
Sure.
So I spent a ton of money on gifts for her. We were both so happy. We were planning on getting our own place come spring when I had saved up enough money to put down a payment on a house.
Wow, getting out and buying a house. Good for you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Christmas
Eve.
That
was the plan.
Christmas Eve, we went to her parents' house for the annual party. We got a very cool reception from her parents. Her mother, who was quite overweight, had a bad hip, was diabetic, and smoked three packs of Pall Malls a day.
Get me my lighter.
And was on SSI disability, was not at all happy with me and her 19-year-old daughter, who ran off with me. Her dad had been spending more time with her mother's best friend. Well, we got through that party and went back to our place to have some drinks with our friends. At midnight, we got a call. Mom had just had a massive heart attack and died. We had to go back to her parents' house. All the joy was gone. Upon our arrival, my future father-in-law.
Okay.
So
they got married.
Who is usually a quiet man, confronted me and said, "You killed my wife. Now get out." I don't think words can describe how I felt at that moment. What could I say or do? Went home alone, so no Merry Christmas. 2 months later, her dad married the best friend of his dead wife.
Yep.
Her and I, girlfriend and I, later married. Merry Christmas.
No update on how he and his father-in-law are doing, huh?
He actually got what he wanted, if you read between the lines.
I think so, too.
I don't think you're off on that one. Well, that's it. 2020 in the books, your holiday horror stories.